God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aru! Well, good morning, good evening, because I don't know what time you're going to be hearing this in. This is Starfleet Commander Visible in the saucer pod. Early in the morning, it's about 7:29, and I'm doing this completely off the cuff because James let me know, and I didn't find out till about 4 this morning when I got up and came in here and started checking out what was happening. I didn't find out until then that I needed to have the show in before I thought I was supposed to have it in because James was leaving early on Sunday morning, and my problem was that I had told him I was going to start getting the show ready on Saturday, and he just assumed that I would have that together instead of informing me ahead of time. Not his fault, of course, but because I had, you know, said I would. And but the thing is, you know, it takes a little while for these things to take root in the mind. So last night while I was off in some other zone in my head, I thought, oh, it's okay, I still have tomorrow. And actually, I didn't even think about it in the first place. It didn't occur to me. But I'm sure some part of me was aware of it. And as it turned out, that was not the case. So I just found out that I still have a few hours here, a couple of hours, 3 hours, something like that. And so I have decided to go ahead on a wing and a prayer. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. Or going out on a wing and prayer. Actually, better. Well, not so good to go out on a wing and a prayer. Well, maybe, yeah, no, maybe not. I don't know. I'm just thinking, well, see, usually when I do these shows, I have some idea where I'm going. You know, I have some preparation going on. I've made some notes, and I have a certain amount of freedom for extemporaneous and spontaneous stuff. And then I, you know, but I have a direction. And now, of course, I don't have a lot of direction. And I was thinking, well, about this one quote by Paramahansa Yogananda, who said, if you don't look for God in the springtime of your life, he won't be there in the winter. And that's what suddenly made me kind of find it humorous about coming in on a wing and a prayer, because that's actually a really good thing if you started earlier on with the whole dynamic. And this is something to keep in mind, what Paramahansa Yogananda said, because I did a radio show earlier this week with Robert Phoenix, who's a really cool guy. I have a great simpatico with him when we do interviews, as I do with James as well. And I've been very lucky that way with the people who have asked me to be on their shows, that they turn out to be really cool people as well, you know. So I have an immediate and instantaneous vibration with them because I know they're members of the faithful, and they're individuals who share in their own way in the thing that I believe most in. And well, as a result of my radio show, I think with Robert, I wrote a Visible Origami yesterday, or was it today? Well, no, it would be yesterday now, regardless. In any case, well, not regardless if it had been the day before, but anyway, it was a very revealing piece on my part, at least about how I feel inside and the things I go through, and I put a lot of my music out there because it's the area of myself where I feel most deeply when I am writing things that have music attached to them. They're much shorter. They're much, I don't know, more endemic of, you know, where I'm coming from in a very total sense, very smallly expressed. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, the Invisible Origami posting. Anyway, God's great that way. It reminds me, and that's another good reason to pursue God, because God gives you certain muses that make certain things possible. Well, the devil will do that too, as we know very well from watching television or however we come to this understanding. Well, I can kill a little time. I have to light my American spirit. And I managed to hit the mic stand as well. So I'm two for one. Anyway, killing more than a bird with one move of the lighter. Anyway, I was talking about this visible origami and this piece that I'd written. And at one point I said in this piece that I've been looking for God my whole life, even when I didn't realize I was looking for God. That's who I was looking for, and that finally dawned on me in a really big way when I had my Kundalini experience, which I talked about on Robert's show. And but, you know, it had been fairly apparent to me before that, except I was in a much more philosophical bent, if you will, and not so bhakti-oriented with the love and pursuit on a devotion level, more of an intellectual matter, if you will. Anyway, I forgot what I was talking about again. Anyway, thank you, God. Anyway, about pursuing God. So, who apparently is pursuing me too. But anyway, I was talking about, you know, how I've been pursuing God for a lot of my life. And, you know, I had this really rough patch through a lot of the mid-range part of my life where a lot of difficult things happened. And I was still looking for God, but it was a rather strange affair, if you catch my drift. Anyway, Mr. Visible, being as early in the morning, and he didn't sleep very much last night, is having a small Campari, which will probably light the fuse in a particular direction, except, you know, you probably need more than one small Campari to get wherever it is that I was referring to, and probably just as well we don't go there. However, I was talking about searching for God, and then I had this difficult middle period, and then over the last 10 years or so, it hasn't been easy, but the pursuit for God has become much more one-pointed. And I must say, in recent time, it has become very strong, save for the last week or two where I've, you know, been engaged in a few different things, and it's become a little more removed from me, unfortunately. Excuse me. Anyway, so, well, this is a very human kind of warts and all thing, isn't it? But anyway, I find now that I'm starting to understand what Paramahansa Yogananda was talking about. Because you always think, well, God won't be there in the winter. I mean, well, I was thinking that meant death. You know, that means when you come up against it, God won't be there. But I realize now, and it should have been obvious from what he said, that God was talking, well, the Paramahansa Yogananda, sorry, same thing. Okay, Paramahansa, this has got to be pretty funny on some levels, it's cracking me up. But anyway, Paramahansa Yogananda was talking about the later part of one's life. And I see what he means now, because God is coming much more full into my existence. I'm becoming much more aware of it. And I'm going, oh, wow, this can't end badly, you know. Because I got to tell you, people, if you're listening and this has not occurred to you, there's nothing like having God in your life, period, at any time. But later on, my God, a little double entendre of some sort there. But anyway, my God, how important is that, you know? And I derive most of my inspiration, I believe, the jury may be out on that, but I derive most of my inspiration from the muse that God has sent me, which would be one of the ladies' attendants, you know, because that's part of her job, really. Saraswati and some of the others who send out those wonderful angels that allow us to express things in a way that resonates with the heart of the people who contact it. This also operates with the devil as well. So it really depends on what your motivation is, doesn't it? And those inspired by the devil obviously have a much larger audience because we're in Kali Yuga, let's face it. And being as we're in Kali Yuga and in material nature to the nth degree, you would find that he would definitely have a much larger audience than the other way around. I'm thinking about that, and I'm going, oh, my God. And I have been putting my songs up for a long time on my blogs, a number of years, nobody really paid much attention. Occasionally, someone would say something nice to me, and I thought, well, it's probably God doesn't really want that for me, or else I'm just not very good at it. But I always thought the lyrics were really good, and I thought, you know, the people that came and read in my place, you know, they would like the lyrics. But then something happened. God said, the invisible voices I listened to, it's probably pretty much the same thing, but anyway, said, I don't know. Oh, there it goes. Ugh, all of a sudden, it stopped recording for a minute. So anyway, I apologize for that little break. But anyway, the invisible voice said to me, put your songs back up now. You might be surprised. And so I did, and all of a sudden, I started getting reactions that I've never gotten before. And I was, I must say, pleased because it's a big part of my endeavors, what I do. I'm not a very good musician. I'm a terrible engineer. But, you know, the sentiment is a very big deal to me, that people get that they understand, you know, that this is, you know, well, I guess they do know where I'm coming from anyway, but that this particular angle. And so in my recent origami, I put up a bunch of songs, which I had written for the lady, because I thought it was important to understand. I've written a number of romantic pieces, but they're not about any particular woman. I never was thinking of any of them when I wrote it. I wrote them thinking of her, you know, the goddess, that wonderful feminine energy, the divine feminine, who has been so gracious to me in so many ways. And, you know, it's actually starting to resonate with people. So I guess it was maybe ahead of the curve in a certain way, and at least in terms of what I do. And, well, that's all to the good, and it's making me feel pretty okay about the whole nine yards. And, well, my God, geez, it's 11 minutes and 39 seconds here on my Adobe Audition. Used to be Cool Edit. We're getting along here, and actually more or less pulled this off. And thank you, James, for getting in touch with me and letting me know. You probably figured that... you know, I get up right in the morning and do it anyway, and I probably would have, you know, but I would have been too late, I think. Might not have gotten up until right about the time you needed it. And now here we are. I hope my friends who are listening here this evening, and I do count you as my friends, that this hasn't been too rambling or too lost in space, so to speak. Because we are surrounded by space, and it's always a likelihood, I suppose. Anyway, and that it's been useful to you, because if there's any one thing, like I said at Origami today, I like being useful. I feel like if I'm a useful tool in God's tool cabinet, then I can't ask for any more. I mean, I can't even really ask for rewards or any different things like that, you know, because I'm getting such a reward in the first place. I mean, if you've ever been a useful tool, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it means to be of service. I mean, there's such a great joy in it. And I think the kingdom of heaven is a lot like that. It's an impersonal kind of place. It's where you don't really care about pecking order. You don't care about personal importance or anything else. You're just so delighted. And to be in service to the one, to the source of all things, at least to even imagine it, or to believe that you are, to be hopeful that you are. I mean, that's such an incredible thing. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. My friend Homer... incredible fellow, one of the most amazing people. I have never met him, but as a poster I do, he's a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhood, Krishna, and he's one of those people. I can tell. That's another thing. People who are in service, they can tell if other people are in service. You know right off the bat. It's the same way that wise men and women who meet up with each other by accident, or that's probably never by accident, but anyway, whenever they encounter each other, they immediately know about each other. There's something very, very obvious that transmits itself because they're both in the presence. And being in the presence, that is my greatest wish. It is the one thing I pursue above everything else. First thing I say in my prayers every evening, oh my God, my friends, I could really go on for quite a long time here now, but I have to leave. So I am going to bid you all adieu and pray that the Almighty encircles and surrounds you with the ineffable love of which only He is capable. And thank you so much for joining me here this evening, or this morning, as the case may be for you, or this afternoon, as it may be in some cases. I don't want to leave you guys out, and you ladies either. I say you guys for everybody. But anyway, now I really have to go. All right. That said, I'll see you next week if there is one. I didn't forget that. Thank God. Thank you, James. I'm going over just a little bit here. All right. Hare Krishna. Aloha. And Haru.
God's not dead, He's merely hiding. You can see Him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see Him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.